All right. Welcome to Security Guy Radio with Chuck Harold, securityguyradio.com. Mr. Jarvis.
Hey, hey.
Do you see my little spectacles here? Look. It's the latest gadget. It goes on the back of my phone like this, so I never lose them.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is cool.
So I'm going to put those on right now because I can't read a darn thing. All right. Now, it's good that I have these spectacles because I'm engaged in a lot of training, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Training is very important, right?
Right.
And we're going to talk about that tonight because I don't think we've ever had somebody on the show to talk about training and compliance. And it's different across all of the different states, right? I mean, everybody's got a different need or law or something they have to follow. And I thought it'd be really good to start with a little video. We're going to play this little video that introduces our guest and her business, which is security.ceu.com. You can check that out, security.ceu.com, for continuing education. So roll that tape, Jarvis, and then we'll come back and meet our guest, Connie. Was it? You caught me dancing. I beg your pardon. Let's welcome to the show our guest, Ms. Connie Moorhead. Welcome, Connie.
Hello. Well, thank you for having me tonight.
So, Connie, what's your title?
I'm the president and CEO of the Seymour Group, which owns and operates securityceu.com.
Now, I am really big on training, and I've tried to find people that do this. In California, like, there's a place you can go to get your guard card, but that's all they do. And when I looked at your site, I was very impressed that it's almost like I'm going to a site to be trained in all kinds of things. It's opposed to just for guard card or just for compliance on one piece of something we do in security. So tell us how long you've been in business, how you came up with this idea.
Well, the Seymour Group has been around for, this is our 17th year, and Security CU has been online for about 12 years now.
Oh, wow.
And it initially started as a site that was just more for informational purposes to help people understand what CEUs were, where they could get them.
Right.
And it centered around certification programs more than licensing. But over the years, we've evolved it a lot due to customer request. Our customers said to us at first, you know, if you're going to tell us about CEUs, can you provide those CEUs as well? And so we started building online training. Prior to that, we mainly built custom product training courses for
right.
manufacturers and integrators.
Yeah, those people used to. Oh, by the way, real quick, I forgot to do this, Mr. Jarvis. I need to say hi to my nephew, Jericho, in Portland, Oregon. Jericho, Mr. Jericho, hope you're recovering from your broken thumb. As you know, your Uncle Charlie had his broken leg, and you are in far better shape than I was. So sorry about that, Connie. I just had to get that in.
No worries. No worries.
So when we had, when I had Fox and Disney, we had union guards, and you had to have no license was required, by the way, at the time, to be an in-house guard, right? Yet we still had to do training otherwise, but they weren't trained. What good were they? And we kind of made up
right.
our own training. And to go find somebody like yourself that would do a custom module was quite an ordeal. Not cost wasn't our problem, but just finding somebody was difficult to do. 12 years is a long time for you to be in that space.
Yeah, we've really honed in our skills on what we do as well, Chuck, because we only work in this vertical market in security, fire, and life safety. So we know not just about training and adult learning theory, but we really understand our customers' needs. We get the difference between a distributor and a integrator. We understand the difference between video surveillance, analytics, and access control, et cetera. So when our customers are asking us to build content, we don't have to be trained on their product or solution necessarily. We understand it.
Now, did you have a background yourself in the business as either, you know, an integrator or security personnel or what?
I've always been involved in either sales or training, and started this business because I worked for a company that did data mining in the construction space. And as you know, about 20 years ago, security was more of a post-construction job than it is, than it was a specified job like it is today.
Right.
So I learned a lot working in the construction space about security, realized that, that this was a high-tech market that had low-tech people. That I don't mean low-tech people, but it had low-tech skills. The skills were changing so rapidly that they needed training constantly on the new skills and technologies. You know, today nothing is really analog anymore, except for legacy systems. Everything's run over the network. So we do a lot of training on IP networking and IP systems and networks to help people understand where they can get their foundational training. That we look for people to come to us for that foundational knowledge, that prerequisite knowledge, that product agnostic information. And then they can either work with us to then also build their product training, or so a lot of people want to build that in-house or work with another vendor, and we're fine with that.
Now, it's interesting you should say there's a lag there, because I always found there's about a five-year lag between the times, you know, the security company A and its personnel catch up with what the latest technology is. And by the time they get to BlackBerries, everybody's on a smartphone. And that's literally that. Do you, are you finding that's changing, that, that lag in the technology? Because the unskilled workforce, they, you know, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, 50% of them had a smartphone. I assume that's a higher number now. But it's still not the same as general population as an industry. You find that still true?
Yeah, you know, I find that the security industry is very interesting from that perspective, because the kind of avalanche of technology that we've seen come into the space over the last 5 to 7 and then, you know, 10 to 12 years, I guess, has been astronomical in the sense of how it's evolved, how fast it's changing. And there's so many technicians and installers, that's not to mention just managers and executives, but there's about 55,000 security installers in working in North America right now. And the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics says that that should increase by about 33% by 2020. So we're seeing this influx of technicians and installers that are all desperate for industry knowledge and licensing requirements, and so that's what we're here for.
Now, that's interesting. I, a friend of mine, Deidre Diamond, has a cyber sn.com, and she is a employment recruiter that finds highly skilled IT professionals. And an installer is not maybe at the high end of the skill, but it's a medium skill set, right, to do installations.
Sure.
And she says they think, you know, in about 10 years maybe or less, there's going to be a million-person shortage of qualified personnel. Are you finding this on the installer side? Because there's a lot of need for them. Are we finding shortages? Or can somebody like Security CEU keep up with that gap by doing the training for them?
Well, I don't see as much of a shortage of personnel as I do a high problem with turnover in this industry.
Oh, interesting.
The turnover rates, depending on the company, can be between 75% and 95% on an annual.
Now, so, is this the number for the kind of technician side of the business, or the average
the
guard company?
Okay, the people out in the field that are you know, supporting, maintaining, installing, and monitoring those systems.
Because on the physical guard side, that can be as high as 200% in some of these big box companies. And I think one of the resistance problems that the owners of the guard companies have is that, why should I spend all this money on training, because you're going to go work for company B tomorrow and then company C, and I paid for your training? And they resist it. It's very difficult to keep
that
interest.
Yeah, the thing
up
about
that.
It though is that there's a lot of data to back up that the companies that invest in their employees from a training perspective have much higher rates of retention with those employees. You know, not to mention higher employee morale, higher skill sets, lower cost of support. The second calls out to the field are much greatly reduced when you have training. I've been in this business a long time, and I know I can tell you that training is the first thing to get blamed when something goes wrong, but the first thing to get cut when money gets tight.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's a shame, because it's actually kind of backwards the way that we should be doing it.
Now, this is a huge task. When I was at Fox and Disney, of course, we had properties in multiple states, and every state had a different licensing requirement. Some states had no licensing requirements. You could You could hook up a camera and not have a license. You could be a guard and not have a license. So they vary greatly. So talk to me about the state and local licensing requirements and how those might differ from state to state. And could you, by the way, could you have a contradiction in a state rule and a local rule at the same in the same state? Could they conflict with each other sometimes?
Sure. Let me address just kind of the high level of that first. 33 states and the District of Columbia have some sort of licensing requirement for the alarm installer. And then that can vary if you start to look at fire. But for let's just talk about alarm installers. There's 33 states and DC, so 34 locations from a state level that have a licensing requirement. Of those, 22 have continuing education requirements. So where one state, you know, the security industry is the 17th highly most regulated industry out there. And I always say it's somewhere between an EMT and a dental hygienist. But we are fairly heavily regulated, and we have, I believe it's the 12th most burdensome licensing requirements at, when it comes to getting a license, because it's not just about training. It's about the background check and the fingerprints and the years of experience and the sitting for the exam. There's a lot that goes into getting a license, and obtaining a license is not necessarily an easy task. On average, it requires about 535 days of education. It requires about $213 invested per license, per employee that needs that license, and usually requires them to take at least one technical exam, technical proficiency exam. And so, but the keener thing to keep in mind is the penalties for not being licensed. So it can be anywhere from a fine up to jail time if a company operates in the field with unlicensed personnel. So, and yes, you asked me about those licenses varying from state to state. They vary greatly from state to state, whereas you may have one state that requires very little to get licensed, and another state, such as Vermont, which is the most highly regulated state, where it's a lot more complex, takes much more days of experience in your resume and sitting for an exam and going through a lot of, you know, much more rigid application process to get that license. So maintaining, there's getting the license and then maintaining the license. So maintaining it, depending again on your location, can require anywhere from 6 to 36 hours annually of continuing education.
Who's got 36 hours of continuing education? Just if you know off the top of your head, what state does that?
California has 36 hours for fire.
Really? Wow. We have 8 for guards, which I think is kind of ridiculous, but it should be a lot more. But at least we have 8, because they didn't used to have any, you know. So for fire safety things, 36. Well, I guess I guess you do need that for that kind of thing.
But the average is about 12 to 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that's what most people are targeting to maintain their license. And we have a guide that we've developed that walks through each state, what its licensing requirements are. Yeah, that's it. And what the licensing requirements are for that state, if any, all the contact information for the state, the continuing education requirements, if any, links to all their locations on their website, including the applications, and then the associated fees. So there's other guides like this that have been developed, but what we did is we revamped the way that the tool was being offered out to the field, just trying to make it easier to use, providing more robust information, and then keeping it current, because a lot of the guides are 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, and given any meeting of a licensing board or an AHJ coming down with new requirements that come across with the legislature, these requirements change. So it's important that these guides are kept up to date.
Now, there's a lot of legal implications, you know, installing a security system without a license. So I would imagine, let's say you have your license and it's all legal and everything's good and you have your training and you install something, you're not really free from that point on. You may have installed it and given it off to the client and said you're done, but is there some liability there? if that installer doesn't keep up their continuing education after an install has been done? And how does a security CEU keep track of that? I hear you have a system, like a compliance management system to track that stuff.
Yes. To answer your question about the importance or the need for the continuing education, it's immense because, again, in order to just get the license, there's one set of processes, and then you need to maintain that license once you've acquired it. So it's important to get the continuing education. We like to say that the continuing education should have value as well. So rather than just taking anything that might get your CEUs, it's important to take courses like the ones that we offer that are on topics such as IP networking, IP video, structured wiring, you name it, so that you can have that strategic kind of that strategic and tactical value add to the training that you're getting, and also maintain your license at the same time. We've just launched a new system called the Compliance Management System, and it provides a way to automate and track from both a company and employee level. The licenses keep you in compliance, and it's much better than just using a spreadsheet or nothing at all, you know, which is what we find in a lot of these organizations, especially your small to mid-sized alarm companies, don't have a system. So they need an inexpensive way to track and manage their licenses and their continuing education credits, and we can give them that.
Now, let's talk about that strategy. That's a good point. So somebody approaches you and says, listen, I need my continuing education. I don't want to screw around with this. I don't have the time and money for it. Just give me the basics. But you're going to stop and say, you know what, Charlie, I think you ought to think about the training I'm giving you because maybe it's going to actually do something to help your employees, right? Instead of just doing it to get off the hook. Are they open to that kind of suggestion when you come up and help them with their strategy? Because like you say, I think a lot of them just think, oh, it's something I have to do. But if you are not compliant with your ongoing education, you lose your license, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
So it's almost more important than getting your license, you know?
Yeah, because it takes a lot then to go and get that license back.
Oh, yeah.
If they do lose it, or they could be operating in the field without a license, which is even more scary. So it's very important that they keep those CEUs up and maintain their license. So we help them do that, but we try to do it with a little bit of thought behind the process so that the training has value across the board. For instance, it may have value also for a professional designation. Being able to add a lot of those letters to the end of your name is important in this industry as well, to prove reliability and value to the market. And keeping those certifications is something else we can help them do. Our CEUs are approved nationally for those certification levels with a lot of the players. Not all, but with a lot. The ones that do approving.
I have no acronyms, Jarvis. I have no acronyms.
None.
No, a junior. That's it.
You got to get some acronyms.
Charlie Junior. I know I don't have CPP or CUP or PPU, and I should,
yeah,
right?
Should. Yeah, right?
Well, there's a good point in that because not only could we get achieve compliance through your training module, but you're encouraging people to go to national associations and get that additional training, like, you know, maybe an as-is.
So right, exactly.
That kind
and
of thing.
As-is, a BIGC, you know, there's some of the tertiary organizations that are so closely tied into security now, like CEDIA, that – are, you know, as you know, focused on home automation. So it's important if you do have those professional designations and credentials to maintain those as well. And a lot of that is end user or client driven because the clients want to know that they have the most qualified people working on their organization, whether that be their you know, large corporation or a small business or their homes.
Now, give us a list of the types of training modules you provide for, you know, so we have alarm companies. I mean, what other modules do you have and what types? So I would assume under alarms, there is probably an IP training of some kind because everything's connected now, you know, internet things.
We have about 100 hours of online training now that we've developed that's offered on Security CEU. And it is, it ranges everywhere from structured wiring up to access control and IP networking and IP video. to some of the softer skills like customer service and sales in the security industry, to all the basics like basic fire, basic physical safety, basic math. So we try to cover what and what a lot of our, especially our larger clients, will ask us to do is to put packages of these courses together so that their employees from either a sales or a project manager or a technician can take different learning paths. And we're able to do that through the site.
Now, do you find that clients may train people that aren't or are not in the industry per se, but work with the industry? Do you ever have that come up? In other words, the more I know about what my installer does, the better I am as a manager to be able to manage the project. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we kind of see that from two approaches. One is from a job title perspective. We work more and more, for instance, with the legal departments when it comes to licensing and compliance than we did previously, or a compliance manager, which is more rare than you might think, but the larger businesses will have a compliance officer or a compliance manager. And then we work a lot with sales and marketing and HR. But then also from the type of organizations that we work with as well, because of the way the security industry is married to so many other markets, we have some telecom companies that have started coming to us, seeking us out for training for their employees. We have cable TV companies that have come to us and asked us to work with them to train their employees, because everything is starting to integrate so heavily these days.
Well, I know that my cable company did not take your course. I can guarantee you that, because they're at my house at least, I'm not kidding, once a month they're at my house. Thank you, AT&T. When it works great, but it doesn't always work so well. Now, that's interesting. So this is a very wide group of topics to train on. Is there one that is in the highest demand for you right now that more people want to get trained in than another one? You know, is there more, a module more in demand than others?
By far. I would say two of our most in-demand modules certainly would be IP networking. It's a 9-hour module and or a 9-hour series of individual modules. And it covers everything from basic networking to software to, you know, the OSI systems and all there is to everything you ever wanted to know, but we're afraid to ask about IP networking. And then access control is also a big series for us. We have a lot of people that still, and we just revamped our access control series and updated it. So we have a lot of people that still take that training because they want to keep up on the newest technologies, credentials, readers, et cetera. Everything from mutual authentication, you know, on down to just what a credential is covered in our access control courses.
So I'll give you an idea of this IP networking. Do you need a prerequisite education for that? Do you need a little bit of training in computers? Or can I send a guard in who knows nothing about it, but I need him to know about it because he's working an access control system at a big client, and he needs to know how all the computers are connected and how it works. Can you start from scratch and get somebody with that course, get them up to speed on basic security systems?
Certainly. And we have the first module in any of our courses, whether it's access control or IP networking or IP video, is a basics module. So it covers just that. And a lot of times either salespeople will take those modules, or a guard, for instance, that may need to just know enough about the network to add a user into an access control system or something, or run a report. Then we go and get more progressed throughout the modules, more technical as we work throughout the module.
I forgot to ask, is this all online? I'm assuming it's all online.
Yes, it is. It's all online. Several of our courses have manuals that can be purchased along with the training, but the courses are all available on the web and they're all mobile friendly, so they can be taken in the field. It's a little challenging. It'll work. It's a little challenging to take a course like this from your phone, but certainly they're tablet friendly.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. It sounds expensive, but I'm going to assume it's not. You don't have to quote us prices, but give us an idea on what kind of investment per year somebody might make that has a medium-sized company.
A lot less than you might think. An individual just coming in out the street, we'll pay $250 for a license to all of our training, all 100 hours for 12 months.
Oh, that's it? $250 for all 100 hours?
Right.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And then our corporate rates start at $195 and go down from there based on volume. And it just depends on whether you're training 500 or 5,000 technicians with us, or 50 or five. And that sets your rate. But it's very, very inexpensive. You can buy our courses ad hoc, meaning you could just come in and buy the IP networking basics course, but that's going to run you about $50. So it makes a lot more sense to buy the subscription, which is, access to everything
right.
for 12.
That's very reasonable. Jarvis, we should get some acronyms. We should take these courses.
Yes, we should.
Maybe you can learn how to work those buttons a little better on that machine over there.
Yes.
Connie, one more thing. Talk about the certificates you issue. I didn't go to college, so I'm not too smart and I don't get these things, but we're going to get something issued from you. And since you're licensed in the state to do the training, I mean, where's the authority vest? Where's the authority vested? In other words, your course is certified by the Kentucky State Education System, or How does that all, how's it all official?
I think I know what you're asking me.
Because I don't, but maybe you do.
That's... Okay. Well, in order to get our courses approved for the CEUs for licensing, we have to go and get them approved through the states.
Okay, good.
And so we have to actually, it's usually a state fire marshal licensing board or something similar that approves the courses and maintains the whole licensing process. And so one piece of that would be the continuing education process. And they approve our courses, and we either go through a process that would be anywhere from submitting outlines and instructor resumes and application forms to sometime having to go and travel to that state and appear before the board. And it just varies depending on the location. And then our courses get approved. And we're kind of marching through the 34 states right now that have licensing and, I should back up and say actually the 22 that have CEU requirements and getting our courses approved.
Well, that's fabulous. Connie, this has been a fascinating conversation. We can find your training at securityceu.com, correct?
Correct.
And is there an email address they can send to get some more information from you or anything like that?
Absolutely. They can email me directly, and that is my name, Connie, Connie, at Seymour, C as in Charlie, M as in Mary, OOR.com, Connie at Seymour.com.
Excellent. Now, I would encourage and we have a lot of guards that listen. We have a lot of technicians that listen, a lot of IP people. I think this is a really cool value for $250 to get all these certificates. And, you're going to be in 35 states. That require certificates and you're certified. So probably, people that are listening are going to be able to get that certificate. And Connie, let me ask you one more final question. Do you find that getting these certificates, not just from you, but from, as is and all these other places, do you find that it creates a real value for your job placement? Do you get a better job because you have those things? I think so.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. If you're looking to better yourself, maybe within your organization or beyond, then these types of courses are going to give you the skills that you need, give you the ability to get the certifications and the licensing, maybe in even reciprocal states that are going to give you a lot of career opportunities.
All right, I'm going back to school, Jarvis. I got to do it. Yeah, I don't have any acronyms. Connie Moorhead, securityceu.com. Thanks for being on Security Guy Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Tune in next Monday, but don't tune out yet because I have a special bonus show coming up right after this. So we'll see you next Monday live, and here's not a repeat, but a new play for you guys. So stay tuned for this next show. All right, good night.